No matter if points are gained or points are lost, there will be much to discuss. For analysis regarding tonight's Winnipeg Jets game, here are Dave Manuk, Ezra Ginsberg, and your host, Drew Mandel. The Illegal Curve post-game show starts now.
Good evening, Winnipeg. Good evening, Manitoba. For all those joining us live this evening on our YouTube channel and all of our social media platforms, we say good evening, universe, and welcome to the Illegal Curve post-game show. With Dave Manuk, with Ezra Ginsberg, I'm your host, Drew Mandel, here to discuss the Winnipeg Jets taking care of business on home ice against their chief rival, the Minnesota Wild, a 6-3 Jets victory over the Wild, putting the Jets back on good footing after what was a disappointing result on Monday night. The Jets continue to play well since the All-Star break concluded, and tonight's effort against the Wild was yet another one of those games where the Jets step up their level of effort against a better, quote-unquote, level of competition. Gentlemen, good to see you both on this Wednesday evening. A fun game, a lot of energy in the building with the fans being back in attendance, and a good result for the hometown crowd to leave happily at the end of the contest.
Yeah, it's nice that we're finally back to 100% capacity, boys. It seemed like it was going to be longer, but obviously, you know, things have progressed. But yeah, a really impressive win tonight, boys. And, you know, it kind of looked like the Scheifele and Wheeler of old, right? Like getting it done with the nice passes in tight, you know, Scheifele with the natural hat trick. We were talking off air right before we came on. We couldn't really remember if that was the first natural hat trick in Jets 2.0 history. Maybe somebody in the chat can refresh our memories here, because I thought Wheeler's hat trick against Pittsburgh might have been a natural hat trick. I knew it was in the first period, but that's probably 3 or 4 years ago now. But look at, you know, when they say your best players have to be your best players and your leaders have to step up, I mean, that's what they did tonight, right, Drew? Like you mentioned, the 3-1 loss to Chicago, just inexcusable. Chicago had been struggling so much against the Central Division and again, the rest of the league, and, you know, the Jets just couldn't score any goals, really, except for the one, obviously. But, you know, Cole Perfetti was fantastic in that third period. I thought Dubois, Connor, and Perfetti were good all night long, getting some good looks. I really liked how aggressive Dubois was. So we were expecting there to be lots of fights. And, you know, just talking about Dubois, guys, I mean, that's the obvious TSN turning point, right? Dubois talking about that cross-checking penalty that he took. Looked like he might have had two cross-checking penalties on that play, right, Dave? But, you know, they kill off that penalty, and not long after, Scheifele gets the go-ahead goal to make it 2-1, and then we know what happened after that. It was all Jets for the most part in the third period. So a really impressive win, and they needed this one.
They certainly did, Dave M. This Jets team, they don't often score goals at 5-on-5, but when they do, it seems as though they come in waves, as this was another one of those efforts, you know, where they managed to break out, especially at 5-on-5. We remember the game against Nashville on Saturday. All those goals did not come at 5-on-5. Meanwhile, the only goal today was the Scheifele goal that was on the power play. Everything else was at the 5-on-5. The Stastny went into the empty net, of course, 5-on-6, I guess. But, you know, a lot to like in the Jets' effort in tonight's game, especially, you know, able to come back after Erickson Ek opened the scoring at the 10:29 mark of the first period. And there really wasn't a lot of sag in the Jets' game, which is, I think, what was important, because the Wild were feeling good about themselves getting the opening goal in tonight's contest.
Well, just to, you know, confirm the point you're making, Drew, I'm literally just finishing up my last Instagram post on the Illegal Curve Instagram, trying to get that all sorted, because we had our crack photographer, Alexander James, who unfortunately for him, last few games, he shot him in duds. So he finally got a good game. He's excited. And I was just trying to finish off all my social media responsibilities. But look, you know, it was an interesting contest because, you know, the Jets came out on fire a little bit, not to the degree that they were, it felt like a crazy imbalance, but it was, you know, it was funny because I looked around and I looked at the scoreboard and the Jets were out shooting the Wild 6-1. And I kind of looked at some of the guys and girls, because Judy Owen of the CP is right beside me as well. And I said, when did the Jets get 6 shots on net? It just seemed like there was an itchy trigger finger there, counting some of those, tabulating those early shots. But the Jets came out well, and they had a 6-1 shot edge, which eventually was 7-2. And then the Wild got that unfortunate redirect goal. And you're right, there wasn't a sag in the game. It kind of had that same Chicago feel, though, in the sense that it didn't have any emotion, and that's what we were expecting, right? Mm-hmm. Everyone was kind of, you know, in addition to the building being full and having full-ish, I should say, because it wasn't a sellout, but in addition to capacity being back up, you're expecting the carryover from the Wild game, you know, 8 days ago. So that's what a lot of people are anticipating, was that, you know, and then that was kind of the thought, why is Logan Stanley in the lineup? Maybe they're keeping him in for size. You know, mm-hmm. he played a good game against Chicago, but maybe they're keeping him in because, you know, they want to have a guy who's a little bit bigger to handle. You know, I mean, look, and the truth is, it wouldn't be unexpected, because what did Jordan Greenway say on Monday after the Wild beat? I don't remember who the Wild beat, but they, after their Jets game was still on, they were playing Chicago, and Jordan Greenway
said Detroit, Dave. Like,
Detroit, that's right. And they won 7-3. And Jordan Greenway said, you know, we owe the Jets, so we're going to be bringing the ruckus. So the reality was, yeah, that's what I was anticipating, was that it was going to be, you know, obviously Foligno, his first game back after a 2-game suspension. So that was the anticipation from my end, was that this was going to be a more physical game, a more aggressive game, and we didn't see it. So it was a little bit unexpected, because even though there seemed to be better emotion in the game, and I thought Pierre-Luc Dubois, to Ezzie's point, especially in that first period, I thought he was very good. His line was creating, and they were creating opportunities. But yeah, it just didn't have that same sort of physically emotional element until Greenway took an unsuspecting Andrew Kopp out in the third period when the game was already over.
The game was already over, and there was no penalty called on that play. And you have to wonder about Andrew Kopp's status for tomorrow now against the Kraken, because he certainly left the ice immediately after getting up and went straight to the dressing room. And I mean, that was a dirty play. I mean, that's just not a play that happens in the course of the game. If Minnesota didn't like the Brendan Dillon hit, going back last week when these two teams played, at least it was a play that happened in the course of the game. Maybe it was a quarter of a step too late or a half a step too late in Minnesota's perspective. Fine, but it's a hockey play. You know, that was just dirty. Greenway just comes out and without Kopp expecting anything, and don't, you know, he's going to feign innocence, of course, on it. But players know when a guy goes out of their way to hit a guy with a blindside hit. And that's exactly what that was. Kopp was not expecting that at all. Had no idea, no expectation to that it was going to come. No anticipation, nothing. It's dirty. That's a dirty play. I understand the frustration level about it, but how all the officials miss it. And I'm curious if the NHL might do something about that, either probably a fine more than a suspension. But that was definitely a dirty, sneaky hit by Jordan Greenway towards the end of the game.
Yeah, and Greenway's a player. You guys know I've said this many times over the years that I really like the way he plays, right? Like, he's not only a guy that can play, you know, with the physicality and lay the big hits, but, you know, he's got a decent scoring touch as well. But you're right, Drew. That most likely should have been a 2-minute penalty. And I think there's a good chance that'll be a fine. I mean, I don't know if that's a suspendable play, but at the very least, I mean, that should have been 2 minutes. And going back to what Dave said before, I mean, you know, Lowry, Foligno had the two fights obviously last week. You know, Dillon dropped the gloves, like, so we were kind of expecting that. But clearly, guys, the coaches pulled the players, both coaches were clear that we want to be disciplined in this game. And specifically, you know, the Jets, like Dubois, obviously we talked about, but for the most part, you know, the Jets stayed out of the penalty box. And, you know, Dave mentioned the pushback from the Wild, because the Jets really did, you know, come out and we're throwing a lot of rubber at Cam Talbot. But, you know, you have to like, you know, in the second period, you have to like the patience, right? Because the first power play unit was out there for the whole power play, right? And I was kind of wondering as I was watching that live, I'm thinking like, okay, when is the second power play going to get out there? And obviously, you know, you could tell Scheifele, Wheeler, Connor, like these guys wanted to score there and they obviously did. And, you know, we talked about, you know, the hat trick, like Scheifele just continues to play well. And that's what you expect from Scheifele at this point in the season when, you know, the Jets playoff lives are on the line. Right. So overall, I mean, I really thought this game, guys, was just the Jets two top lines being better than the Wild top two lines. And we knew going into this game how good the Wild were offensively. Right. Like we saw during the first two meetings of the season, what did the Wild score? 13 goals in those first two games. Right. So the most part, the Jets have done a pretty good job of shutting down the Wild the last couple games. And obviously, you know, this is good for the Jets going into the game tomorrow against the Kraken, right? Because now you've taken some of the pressure off. We talked about that, you know, with the Chicago game, how that was so disappointing because that was the one game on this four-game homestand where you're thinking, okay, well, that's a game that, you know, they should easily win, even though, you know, Chicago does have a few dangerous players, Kane to brink it, right? So I really liked what we saw from Scheifele, Wheeler, and Stastny. You know, I thought Hellebuck was pretty good overall. Obviously, you know, we knew that he was going to get this start tonight. So, I mean, in a game in which you needed to clean 2 points, the Jets got it done. And there was a point in that game where it looked like it might, you know, get away from them a little bit. For the most part, though, they were really defensively responsible. And, you know, they didn't make any, you know, unforced errors and stayed out of the penalty box. And
they tried to make unforced errors. And by they, I mean, Connor Hellebuck in particular. That was one of the worst displays of goaltending, of a goaltender puck handling that I can remember off the top of my head. And to me, a lot of those plays can be chalked. I mean, Hellebuck's not the best puck handler to begin with, but a lot of those plays.
No, he struggles with it, Drew. Not only is he not the best, he struggles.
I know, but a lot, even, I mean, he struggled even more so than normal tonight. And yeah. I chalk that up to fatigue in a lot of those plays because he was even worse than he normally is, which is a bit of damning with faint praise because he's never that great at puck handling. But the fact that, you know, he didn't end up getting burned on one of those is sort of fortuitous because there were a number of bad giveaways there that very easily could have ended up in the back of the Jets net. And to me, that's fatigue. That's a goalie who probably, in my mind, my estimation, shouldn't have played on Monday. You knew you were going to play him tonight. He's obviously going to get tomorrow off. It's going to be an Eric Comrie game unless Dave Lowry has completely lost his mind, but I'm sure that it's going to be a Comrie game nonetheless. But to me, that's just a function of fatigue plus not his best skill of them all.
Yeah, and you're going to have to be really careful with his games going down the stretch, right? Like, we know, you know, there aren't many breaks coming up. We know there's 16 games in March, right? A lot of those are at home, but still, I mean, Comrie's going to play more than he has, you know, for the first 47 or 48 games of the season. So I agree with you, Drew. That was very dangerous, almost led to a wild goal. And, you know, I wanted to go back to what we were talking about earlier with Logan Stanley, because obviously, you know, there were some Jets fans that were a little bit, you know, upset or confused. And I think anytime guys Stanley goes in, you know, that's what we're going to be talking about, right? Well, the Jets needed his size, right? Well, I think that was part of it. There's no doubt that, you know, this game going into tonight's game, they thought that they were going to, you know, maybe have to deal with, you know, a little bit more physicality from the Wild. It didn't turn really out to be that type of game. But I liked how, if you look at the time on ice, I was just checking it, right? Like, that's what I like to see, like 18 to 20 minutes for all your defensemen. I thought Morrissey and DeMello were really solid tonight, you know, most of the time going up against the Kaprizov-Zuccarello line. So, you know, this is just one of those games that I thought was just really efficient from the Jets' part. Like, it wasn't flashy. You know, Ville-Heinola obviously, you know, would like to stay in the lineup. But, you know, I thought Stanley was, you know, really solid. You know, he was, you know, getting the puck on net a little bit, like just making kind of simple plays. He was just solid, just overall solid. So that's one thing I just wanted to mention there, that the defense, the minutes were very evenly distributed, which we haven't necessarily seen, you know, a lot, especially with all the guys in and out of the lineup, right? Like, nobody expects Johnny Kovacevic to play 20 minutes for the Jets when he's in the lineup, right? But I think, you know, with Stanley back in the lineup, you know, he's a little bit rusty. So I thought he was, you know, not terrific, but he was just solid.
Even the you know, the fourth line that we talked about on Monday's post-game show, Dave M, you know, the fourth line, and it was, you know, Austin Pagansky getting back into the lineup for tonight's effort. You know, the depth players on the Jets were able to get their minutes. You know, Pagansky played, 8-12. Jansen Harkin, 7-05. I mean, Toninato gets some extra time because he's on the penalty kill, but he's up closer to 11 minutes, just under a shade under 11 minutes. Even the guy Christian Reichel, almost 13 minutes. It's a function of the score, certainly. It's a function of the Jets having a lead throughout the course of the game, but that is important, especially on the second half of a back-to-back or the first half of a back-to-back, in that you were able really to run your entire four lines. You weren't able to overtax any of your defensemen. You know, that's how the Jets need to be running their bench. That's how they need to be doling out the ice time more equitably if, you know, the long term they want to have some success. Because what happened on Monday, where you got guys playing 2.5-3 minutes, just isn't successful in the long term, Dave M.
Yeah, and it's one thing that Dave Lowry actually addressed today, because he was asked about using his fourth line and getting the minutes, because you know, and he was asked specifically about the game in Chicago where they didn't play. And as you talked about on the post-game show on Monday, you know, this was they basically were a three-line team in the third period. And he addressed that. He said, you know, when we're chasing, that's what we do. And he said he didn't mind the rhythm of the way the team was going. But ultimately, you just can't, you know, burn your team out. And you need these guys to go. Maybe it was a birthday gift to Austin Bogansky because he's celebrating his birthday today. I'm not certain. But, I mean, these guys have shown that they're capable of at least holding, you know, treading water and being able to hold and not burning you every time that they've got the puck. And we saw Christian Reichel again getting deep, on the forecheck. And Austin Bogansky was trying to do that as well. Dominic Condonato, he had a couple of chances. He had one that I'm sure he would have liked to have buried. So I think there's opportunities for these guys. And I think the coaching staff has to show a little more faith in them. And you know, the reality is, as you said, Drew, as important as this game was, you know, tomorrow's game is now just as important because you can't have a letdown game tomorrow against Seattle. We're going to focus on Seattle later. But, you know, the point is you don't want to burn out Blake Wheeler. You don't want to burn out Mark Scheifele. They both had strong games, right? 4-point nights. And it's not always just about the points. Sometimes it's about the decision-making. And the decision-making was pretty good from most of those guys throughout the course of the game. So there's little things. I mean, Paul Stastny doesn't get credit on that first goal that Mark Scheifele scored. Beautiful pass by Blake Wheeler, but Paul Stastny lifts the stick to create the lane that Blake Wheeler uses to find Mark Scheifele. So, I mean, there's all sorts of – I thought that line was good tonight. I thought, like we talked about, I really liked the Dubois line throughout the course of the game. I thought the Wheeler line started to get going in the second period. I didn't think they were really doing much in the first. But, yeah, I mean, I think it's a function of – you're starting to have faith in your whole group because you can't just rely on two lines. That's an outdated way of thinking in the NHL, in today's NHL, right? So, you know, and it jokingly said rumors of Mark Scheifele's demise were greatly exaggerated because he talked about his need to be better. And obviously, while it's in all facets of the game, the most important one for Mark Scheifele is scoring. You know, he's got the fifth most points in the 2011 draft class, right? So we know he can do it, but he hadn't been doing it of late.
Well, where's Nikita Kucherov, Dave?
He would be number one. He'd probably be the best 58th pick overall of all time, although I'd have to look and see where the others who have been drafted in that round and in that spot. But the point is that Mark Scheifele is doing what this team needs him to do, which is score, put the puck in the back of the net. And that second goal, the power play goal, was vintage Mark Scheifele. On the wall, slap shot. Talbot had no chance, and that's what
it was a hell of a shot. I mean,
it was a hell of a shot.
You look at it, and you're like, well, Talbot should have made that save because Scheifele is sort of he's you know so far on close to the wall. He's not really what you would describe as in the Ovechkin spot. He's even further back from it, but he's able to get so much on that shot that Talbot just can't handle it. I mean. You know, it's you know, Mark Scheifele is beginning. Look, we've been very critical of him, rightfully so, I might add. He's struggled so far this year, but since the All-Star break, Mark Scheifele is showing glances and showing glimpses of being the goal scorer that the Jets need him to be. So when you struggle, you get called out for it on this program. But when you succeed, you should get praise for it on this program. And Mark Scheifele deserves the praise based on his performance and the majority of the games since the All-Star break. I mean, that's now five games, and he certainly looks closer to the Mark Scheifele that we expect. And the Jets certainly need him to be that if they want to go on a run and if they want to get back into this playoff race that they're very slowly trying their best to get back into.
Yeah, and Blake Wheeler, too, like Dave touched on it there. Like, you know, I saw a few comments in the chat there. Like, Wheeler, we got to give him props here and give a shout-out. He drew the penalty that led to the power play. I forget, guys, who took the penalty on the Wild, but he drew that penalty. It was a tripping penalty, I remember that, on Wheeler. And then he was really good and really patient on that goal, right? You remember he comes from behind the net. Or was that the first goal? Now I'm getting them confused. That was the first goal where he was really patient behind the net, and then he first drew goal. With Alex Goligoski. Was it Goligoski, right? Goligoski was out there, and he drew him, and then Scheifele fell down, and then he got back up. But yeah, I agree with you, Drew. The angle was not optimal. I think it might have gone off Kulikov, I'm not sure if it went off Kulikov. At least on the broadcast, it looked like it might have. He was in front of the net, but Wheeler and Scheifele together, and Stastny, right? You don't forget, you know, Stastny at all, but specifically four assists for Wheeler. Everyone's going to remember tomorrow morning, you know, the Scheifele natural hat trick, but you know, you have to give Wheeler praise as well, right? Like overall, they might be having, you know, down years, but I agree. The five games since the All-Star break, they've been absolutely red hot. I mean, the Jets obviously, you know, haven't been flawless. I mean, we just saw that a few nights ago against the Blackhawks, a game in which they should have won and didn't really get much going offensively, right? So, yeah, Scheifele has really stepped up, and that's a good thing for the Jets, right? Because Dubois is getting his chances. He's kind of, you know, cooled down a little bit, you know, in terms of goal scoring. I think, you know, Perfetti just continues to look really good. You knew he was going to get a goal eventually, right? He keeps getting really good looks. So,
and I mean, never mind the goal. I mean, the goal tonight was great, but the pass that he sprung Connor on, I mean, cross ice in stride, tape to tape. That is a high skill pass from Cole Perfetti. And I mean, yes, he gets the goal as well, which is nice because he went, you know, he went hard to the net. You know, that's a goal where a guy like Perfetti, you don't necessarily expect to see him there, given, you know, that he's on the smaller side of things. But he knows that in the NHL to score, you have to go to the, you know, ad nauseum dirty areas. And he did, and he got his stick on it. And he was, you know, creating the traffic in front, and it worked out very well. And I saw tonight his family's at the game. His folks were able to be at the game tonight in Winnipeg. So they got to see his first goal on home ice, because the other goal, of course, happened against the Washington Capitals, you know, however long ago that was now. They all blend together.
First career game winner. First career game winner, by the way.
There you go. First career game winner in front of mom and dad. So that'll be something that Cole Perfetti and his family certainly never forget. And that's nice for them. And look, the Jets, you know, you can't tell. I don't want to be the Debbie Downer. I know I frequently get accused of being a downer. There you go. But you can't help but think if they had played like they did tonight, or even three quarters of how they did tonight against the Blackhawks on Monday, how much better it would look since the All-Star break. They wouldn't have a regulation loss since the All-Star break. And you know, that's sort of got to be, you would think that's a little bit in the back of their mind, that they could be, you know, 2 points closer to the Dallas Stars, 2 points closer to the Anaheim Ducks. With tonight's victory, they move into a tie with the Vancouver Canucks, but because the Jets have two games in hand on the Canucks still, they're ahead of the Canucks in the standings, and that's what we talked about, and I think we talked about it on Saturday's Illegal Curve Hockey Show, 9 a.m., you know, where we said all you can do one step at a time is just sort of leapfrog the team that's immediately ahead of you, and they've done that. They've done that against, by, you know, leapfrogging against the San Jose Sharks, and they did that tonight by leapfrogging Vancouver. And, you know, tomorrow they play the Kraken. They can get a little bit closer to Dallas, a little bit closer to Anaheim. And Anaheim and LA are tied, and Edmonton for that matter. They're all tied for the third spot in the Pacific and the second wild card spot. So the Jets are getting closer. Who thought
the Jets would be chasing the Ducks at this point? Pretty incredible.
Well, nobody would have thought so. And they are 5 points behind Anaheim still. But it's funny, you look at their records and they're not terribly dissimilar in that both the Jets and the Ducks are well under 500 when it comes to winning percentage. You know, the Ducks have only won 23 of their 49 games. They just have 9 overtime games. Same with the Jets. The Jets have only won 21 of their 47 games, but they have those 8 overtime defeats that they, you know, get the single point on. So, you know, in terms of actual winning games outright, Dallas is heads and shoulders above both Anaheim and the Jets. But they, when they lose, the Stars do, they lose in regulation, which is, of course, the a thing you can't really do that much in the NHL unless you're going to have a really good winning percentage. In any event, we're talking about the Jets and the Minnesota Wild. For the second time in the course of a week, the Jets defeat the Wild on home ice. Tonight, a 6-3 victory for the Winnipeg Jets. Mark Scheifele, 3 goals and an assist. Blake Wheeler, if I'm not mistaken, what did he have? He had a solid four assists tonight. I mean, you know, it's pretty
9
good.
Points in the last 3 games for him.
It's pretty good. You know, those two guys were certainly receiving a lot of the slings and arrows of the struggles of this team. And, you know, at least this week, at least since the All-Star break, they've been able to, you know, to carry the team a little bit, or do it in conjunction with, of course, Pierre-Luc Dubois and Kyle Connor. Connor with his 27th of the season. You know, that's a bit of a mismatch, by the way. Connor with speed all against almost any goalie, but Connor with speed against Cam Talbot. Talbot got exposed a little bit. Like Kyle Connor can embarrass goalies all throughout the league.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, going back to what you were saying before about, you know, the playoff race, like it's going to go up and down for all of these teams, right? And I think you really just have to put together a winning streak, right? Like you have to keep it going tomorrow night against Seattle. You have to keep it going against Edmonton, right? Like we talked about it, like you kind of have to win, you know, not only 3 of 5, you kind of have to win closer to 7 of 10, right? Like if you look at, you know, how many points you're going to need, whether it's, you know, 94, 95, 96, some people are even saying it might even be kind of in the high 90s, which kind of reminds you of that year they squeaked in 2015. If I'm not mistaken, again, the chat hopefully will help me here. 99 points with that year, right? When Havlik went on that nice little run at the end of the year with the shutout. So it might be like in the high 90s. We don't know right now because there's teams that have obviously played. There's teams that have played more games than the Jets, right? So yeah, since the All-Star break, Drew, like you could have easily, you know, had the extra win if they, you know, put together a better effort against Chicago. But I think you really have to be happy not only with the wins, but the way Scheifele and Wheeler specifically have responded. Because going into the All-Star break with all of those losses, like it wasn't too long ago, guys, we were talking about, you know, the big losing streak. And, you know, those guys' play was suspect both offensively and defensively. So that's a really good sign here because we know Ehlers isn't coming back for a while. So these are the players that are going to have to produce for the Jets. And, you know, it's been Connor and Dubois all season long. And you really have to like that, you know, and Scheifele, you know, has had some pretty bad luck at times this year. And you knew they were going to start going in for him, right? He could have probably had another one tonight. So, you know, he deserves full marks for the way he played and the way that whole line played. And, you know, just overall, this was just a focus group. We talked about it earlier. They kind of didn't let this game get away from them. They didn't let the kind of, you know, off ice stuff affect them in this game, I thought, right? Like we could have seen, you know, a little bit more of a chippy game. I thought they handled their emotions and just, you know, killed off that penalty in this late in the second period. And then, you know, got their power play opportunity, capitalized, and, you know, they obviously never looked back from there.
I think just to springboard off Ezzy's point, I think one of the things that, you know, the Jets have been needing for a long time, because we've oftentimes been talking about Kyle Connor and Pierre-Luc Dubois leading the way, is you need this kind of effort from Blake Wheeler and Mark Scheifele. Now, it can't be, you know, the 2 or 3 games and then it goes into hibernation mode. I mean, this has got to be a nightly thing, and it's not going to be easy because the Jets have, you know, a sprint to the finish, and it's, you know, whatever it is, 38 more games in 70, however many days. So it's going to be a tremendous effort, but that's just what the Jets are going to have to do because that's the position they put themselves in. However, if you can get Blake Wheeler and Mark Scheifele going, Paul Stastny as well, I think was at his 14th goal. I know it was an empty netter, but still he was doing some things out there. So if you can get these guys going, and then you can remember, as Ezzy said, and it's true, Nikolaj Ehlers is probably not going to be back for a little bit longer. So you're waiting for him. But just imagine what happens with this team when you can add a guy like Nikolaj Ehlers somewhere in that lineup. And then suddenly, you know, that allows Paul Stastny maybe to slide down or whomever. And then suddenly you've got, or, you know, Andrew Kopp. We, like you said, Drew, we don't know his status. I don't know if Dave Lowry said anything about Andrew Kopp. I would imagine.
I haven't seen anything. So right. You won't know until pregame tomorrow.
That's right. And we probably won't know till warm up would be my guess because, you know, their Jets won't have a morning skate. So we're not going to, and I suspect Dave Lowry's not going to tip his hand unless it's something of significance. But we do know that Andrew Kopp has a history of, you know, dealing with concussions before, right? That's why he's wearing those tinted visors.
He's
so
it's from Michigan, Dave. He'll be fine.
Well, I'm sure.
If it was a shot block, I'm sure he'd be fine. If it's a concussion, they don't fool around with those. I know.
Yeah. Hopefully, it's not a concussion.
So anyway, so I think
it didn't look a lot like it though.
It could have. I mean, but you know, like I said, we're not going to be internet doctors here, so we're going to just let the medical assessment come from the team. And then, like I said, you know, it bodes well for the Jets, and we don't make grand pronouncements after one game, because of course that just doesn't make a lot of sense. So what you do is you take that and you add that to the analysis. And I think it stands this team well that Mark Scheifele has 7 goals in his last 5 games. And Blake Wheeler has 9 points in his last three. And he seems, like I said, it's not exactly quick, but the reality was that this team is better now than it is in 2 or 3 weeks. So at least you're putting yourself into a position. Now, like I said, it's all going to be for naught if you stink the joint up tomorrow against Seattle.
Yeah.
Now, we'll see what happens. As you know, some people are asking in the chat, what do we think? I mean, I would think that Eric Comrie is going to be in net. I would be shocked. As you said, there'd be no reason not to. You know, you've got a lot of confidence
especially
in him
with
based
the game
on
Saturday afternoon, Dave, against Edmonton, right? Like,
that's right.
It just, it's not similar. There, it's not the same scenario as Nashville, Dallas. Like, it's just, it's not the same situation. So, you know, we thought there was a good chance Hellebuck was going to start against Nashville, and he did, but just the circumstances just aren't the same. It just wouldn't make any sense. You haven't, and you also, Comrie hasn't played in a while.
Well, that's right. He hasn't played since the end of January.
Weeks? Yeah, so we're talking 3 weeks.
I think it was the 27th.
He's got to play.
Well, did you see the stat in 32 thoughts this week from Elliot Friedman? I'm pulling it up here real quick. It was quite fascinating.
I only read the first 22 thoughts, Drew.
So when Hellebuck plays on the second half of back-to-back, so when he starts both games, the first game and the second game in a back-to-back situation.
Well, it seems reasonable that it would be Hellebuck in the first game, so.
Right. So when he goes both, he's only allowed 6 goals on 110 shots in the second half of those games.
It's crazy.
Which is obviously an incredible save percentage. That's a save percentage that's, you know, higher than 940. So it's a very odd outlier. And, you know, and when Hellebuck does that, he has a 5 of a possible 6 points when he goes to the back to back in those situations. That's not me saying that I expect to see him tomorrow. I'd be shocked if he starts tomorrow, but it is interesting that he plays well in those second half of back-to-back situations, right, where he played the night before as well.
Yeah, and that obviously factors in for Dave Lowry and the coaching staff. Like, they have those numbers, right? Like, it's not like, you know, those are secret numbers. Like, they know that Hellebuck, you know, will give them a really good effort, give them excellent goaltending in the second game of a back-to-back. I think why so many people, including us, were surprised is because how much Hellebuck has played not only this year, but in previous years, right? So we're not just looking at that in a vacuum and looking at it like second game of back-to-back, right? We're looking at it in totality and looking at how much he's played this year, right? Comrie has not played a lot this year. So I think, you know, that's what was, you know, giving us a second thought, right? So yeah, Comrie's going to play tomorrow. That will be my Ginsburg guarantee.
Wow, the Ginsburg guarantee.
A lot. Well, I mean, I think even someone who doesn't follow the Jets would be able to pick that one, Dave.
All right. I think that's a fair point. Now, more importantly, Izzy, we got almost 300 people in the conversation right now. We need to get 300 likes. Come on, people, pump up our algorithm. Let's see what you can do here. Smash that like button for the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. You should be happy. I mean, the Jets won. That's, you know, usually sometimes people angry like. We'll take angry likes as well, but these should be happy likes, so.
Unfortunately, I don't have 300 Tough Duck Dukes to give away, but we are going to give one away after the break.
And along those lines, let's go to break. When we come back, much more on the Jets in the Wild, our Tough Duck hardest hitting comment. We'll look ahead to tomorrow night against the Kraken. Much more to come. Stay with us. It's the Illegal Curve Post Game Show. We're live on our YouTube channel and all of our social media platforms.
Jerry Seinfeld, Chris Rock, Jon Stewart, Dennis Miller, Brad Garrett, the biggest acts and all the up-and-comers. They've all made their mark at Rumors Comedy Club, North America's longest-running independent comedy club. Rumors has kept Winnipeg laughing for over 25 years. When was the last time you laughed out loud? Make it a great night out with friends or book your office or birthday party, even a fundraising event at Rumors. Get all the details and dates on upcoming shows at rumorscomedyclub.com.
He winds up. Oh, looks like Ezzy took that one right in the choppers.
A blistering fast puck hurts like HE double hockey sticks. That's why I let the pros at Linden Market Dental Center turn my yow into
wow.
Get your brilliant smile back with state-of-the-art restorative and cosmetic dentistry from real pros.
And remember, always wear a mouth guard.
Now that's solid on ice advice. Learn more at LindenMarketDentalCenter.com. Creating smiles for life.
Whoa, Ezzy, everything okay? You look stressed.
Of course I'm stressed. We're moving, the house is upside down, the kids failed miserably at packing the fine china, and my life is in chaos. chaos.
Yes, that does sound like a problem.
What am I going to do?
Ezzy, relax. Rolly's Transfer Moving and Storage is the answer. With 60 years of experience in moving Manitobans and a track record of exemplary customer service, one call to Rolly's and your stress is gone. No job is too big or too small. Just visit Rolly's.com and they will take it from there.
Thanks, Dave. And thank you, Rolly's Transfer Moving and Storage, online at Rolly's.com.
Hey boys, finding parking on game day shouldn't take longer than the Manuk minute.
It shouldn't take longer than 1 minute?
Yeah, less than a minute? I spend at least 20 driving around to find street parking. Or if I'm in a rush to the game, I'll shovel out 20 at a parkade.
You're both doing it wrong. There's this app called Grid Park. It lets you find and pre-book your parking spot on game days. And you can reserve your spot up to 1 month in advance. And guess how much you'll pay?
Tell me, Dave. You know I love a deal.
Ezzy, $5.
Come on, $5?
Yeah, and it's just 2 blocks from the arena.
The Grid Park app?
Yep. Spelled G-R-Y-D Park. And you know what else?
There's more?
Our listeners get their first park free with the code FIRSTPARK.
Wow, so they just download the Grid Park app and pre-book their next game day spot for free?
Yeah, you got it, Ez. Promo code FIRSTPARK. Only on the Grid Park app.
Hi, it's Drew from Illegal Curve here. Selling your home can be stressful, but it wasn't for me. Thanks to my friends at Zappia Group Realty, they made the process so easy. My home sold within 48 hours and with multiple offers. Zappia Group Realty took care of everything with their exquisite customer service and attention to detail. If you want to sell your home for more in less time, get started by talking to Frank and Mauro Zappia of Zappia Group Realty. Online at zappiagroup.com.
For 3 generations and over 80 years, Tough Duck has been making apparel that works and plays as hard as the people who wear it. From jackets to work boots and everything in between, Tough Duck's clothing can handle the harshest environments, even the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Work to live, live to play. Visit toughduck.com. 9:20 in the evening, Wednesday night. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve post-game show. I'm your host, Drew.
Looking forward to the 7 o'clock start tomorrow. By the way, like
it'll be
last game was 8 o'clock. Tonight was 6. Yeah, like just give me 7 o'clock Central, so I have time to put my kids to bed.
Well, you got 3 o'clock on Saturday, and you got 3 o'clock on Monday. How does that fit into your schedule?
Well, I was gonna wait till after the show, but Saturday's post-game is a no-no. Naomi said no, so I'll be good for tomorrow night, but yeah.
There you go.
She's looking for a little romance, Drew.
Afternoon romance? Who are you two kidding? You have two kids. Yeah. There hasn't been any afternoon romance.
Afternoon, morning, and night. I'm good to go whenever.
Yes. I know you're good to go. But
this is icy. Ezzy, it's too early for icy after dark.
We got some Gary White playing here, Drew.
Yeah, no. Nobody wants to hear.
Do you remember what happened when Drew tried? Ezzy, don't forget the technical difficulties we had last time that Drew tried to put some music in the show. So
there you go. Exactly right. In any event, welcome back to the program. Drew Mandel, Dave Manuk, Ezra Ginsberg with you. We'll be back tomorrow night as well, 9:45 or thereabouts, with the post-game show after the Jets and the Kraken. A huge game for the Jets tomorrow as they look to continue to inch their way up the Western Conference standings. A big game that they're keeping an eye on. Right now in Calgary, the Flames, who certainly look like a bit of a juggernaut and have went out and acquired, of course, Tyler Toffoli from the Montreal Canadiens, they're up 2-0 on Anaheim at the end of one. And the Jets fans would certainly be pulling for the Flames in order for the Ducks to stay within striking distance, within 5 points of the Jets, pending that result later on tonight. But Calgary up 2-0 as they look like great trade. I agree. I mean, he just fits everything Calgary needs to do. Makes sense. He's got a familiarity with Daryl Sutter. I mean, Calgary right now looks like they don't have a lot of holes in their line, in their roster. They got the goaltending. You know, they got some great forwards up front. Now they added Toffoli. They'll be a very difficult opponent for the Jets on Monday afternoon, which is, I believe, a makeup game that was postponed in December. Was that the game that was supposed to be played on New Year's Eve? Were the Jets supposed to be in Calgary on New Year's Eve?
Okay, that's right.
That's what I thought. In any event, there you go. The Jets 6-3 tonight. They'll play the Kraken tomorrow. The Kraken continue to struggle. But the Jets have had their struggles, of course, with teams that have had their struggles as well.
The Mason Appleton homecoming.
The Mason Appleton homecoming, indeed. I'm sure the tribute video will be extensive and very emotional, undoubtedly. Ezzy, tough doc, hardest hitting comment. You have a winner?
Yeah, I do. I sent it to you in the private chat there, Drew. We're going to give it to Vern Fecto tonight. And Vern is a frequent Illegal Curve post-game show viewer. So we want to thank him for always joining us after Jets games. You can see it there. Play of the game. Coach Lowry taking Shifley away from the Erickson Ek line and onto the Fiala line. Immediate result is a goal, followed by drawing a penalty. I mean, that's the benefit of last change. Vern absolutely nailed it there. And the reason why I liked it is because that was going through my mind. Obviously, you know, the Ek line is a terrific shutdown line. If I'm not mistaken, they still haven't given up an even strength goal against. I don't know if you guys have seen that as well. But that was an incredible stat. So I liked that, you know, Vern noticed that Lowry was attempting to get the Shifley away line away from the Erickson Ek line. So we're going to give him the tough duck hardest hitting comment. Vern, just send me an email, Ezra@illegalcurve.com. Just send me your mailing address and tough duck will ship out a toque to you. So congrats.
There you go. Congrats to Vern for tonight's tough duck hardest hitting comment. You can also, of course, DM Ezzy on Twitter at ICEzzyG, because I know Vern is a big tweeter as well, if I recall seeing him multiple times on the Illegal Curve Twitter feed at Illegal Curve. We talked about natural hat tricks from the Winnipeg Jets. Apparently, the good folks at NHL.com must have been listening to us. Shifley had a natural hat trick tonight, of course. Blake Wheeler, March 3rd, 2019, had a natural hat trick. And Patrick Laine has two natural hat tricks, or had two natural hat tricks when he was a member of the Jets, November 24th, 2018, and March 6th, 2018. But the first one in Jets 2.0 history, Nikolaj Ehlers, October 9th, 2017.
Against the Oilers?
I think so. That sounds right. That's the year where the Jets
they needed started, that bounce back. Started off poorly.
They lost those first two games in at home to Toronto when they dominated,
and Calgary,
and then Calgary, they gave up a big lead, and Edmonton, they went out and they jumped out to a lead in Edmonton, if I recall correctly. And then the Oilers came back to tie it up. And then I think Ehlers took over.
That's right.
Back.
It was a 5-2 game, I think.
It was something like that. It was 2-0 for the Jets. And then the Oilers went bang, bang, and they tied it up real quick.
Bang, bang. Whoa, is Dennis back in our chat now? What's going on? I saw Dennis.
That's trademark, Drew.
I should have told him, Dennis, Drew's going to use your line.
Dennis has been off for the last couple games. He's been off since, he didn't do Saturday's game. He didn't do Monday's game. He didn't do Wednesday's game. So
we're going to free Dennis tomorrow. Dennis will be free tomorrow.
Good. We want to see Dennis back behind the mic. Always enjoy when Dennis calls the games. In any event, guys, just a thought about tomorrow's opponent, the Seattle Kraken. What do the Jets have to do to not play down to the level of their opponent? Because that is really what we've seen so many times so far this season.
Yeah, and I mean, it's a valid question, right? Like, especially coming off of the loss to Chicago, when we've already seen Jets lose to teams like, you know, the Coyotes and the Flyers and the Sabres, right? So I think, you know, it starts with a good start, right? Because we know that usually, you know, you're going to get a little bit more tired as the game progresses. I think you have to, you know, be thinking of, you know, the back-to-back that you just had and the success, the win over Nashville, right, after the unfortunate ending in the Dallas game. So I think you have to just put together, you know, as close to a complete game as you can. And that's obviously been a bugaboo for the Jets, where they've had games in which, you know, they've had a good first period or a good first half of the game. So I think, you know, this is a game in which you have to continue to be aggressive. And you all the elements in tonight's game you want to bring into the game against the Kraken. Like, the Kraken obviously, you know, do not have as much offensive firepower as the Wild, especially, you know, on the back end, right? Like, Jared McCann's having a nice season. You know, Jordan Eberle, Jaden Schwartz is still out of the lineup. You know, this Kraken team just isn't very deep. It's essentially, you know, a lot of second and third line guys. And, you know, the defense, it's pretty good. They've got Carson Soucy, who obviously the Wild used to have. But I think, you know, you just have to continue to play the way that you've played that has led to success, right? And, you know, the game against Nashville was a little bit different, right? Like, that was kind of a bit of a hybrid game. But I think, you know, you want to keep this game, you know, follow a similar template that you have, you know, since the All-Star break, right? Like the Jets have been, you know, a opportunistic team. Special teams have been really good. Stay disciplined. And, you know, just based on skill alone, I mean, this should be a game that you win, but you just have to make sure that, you know, you stay in your structure and, you know, you don't make a lot of mistakes. I mentioned, you know, they've done a good job of late staying out of the penalty box. So, you know, you have to follow it up with a win, though. Kind of goes back to what we said against, you know, the Chicago Blackhawks. That's why it was so disappointing. That was a game in which you really thought you were going to get a couple points. So, you know, you don't want to lose the momentum that you gained tonight.
You certainly don't, Dave. And the Jets have six games left in the month of March. They have obviously the last two home games tonight and then Saturday afternoon. So
Did you just go back to the future?
Sorry, February. It's February. I've got my.
Where's your hoverboard, Drew?
It's somewhere with Biff. Hopefully he's taking good care of it. But with six games left to go in February, I should say. I mean, this is, you know, we talked about it really, you know, since the All-Star break that, you know, everyone was looking ahead to March about all the games they have on the calendar and everything else. March ain't going to matter if the next six don't go the way the Jets need them to go. And that starts with tomorrow night at home against Seattle, Dave.
Yeah. And I think, you know, to touch on what Ezzy's talking about, I mean, this is a Seattle team, unlike what we saw with Vegas that first year, that is not, you know, they're not a Stanley Cup contender. And they are, you know, unfortunately for them, toiling away a little bit at their first season. You know, their goal differential is minus 44. They've only scored 129 goals for, and they've got 173 goals scored against them. So they haven't been a good road team either. I think I was looking before, their road record is 7-13-2. So, I mean, they have a lot of regulation losses. And you know what? Look, if the test is on the Jets, and you know what? Marc-Andre Fleury played a good game, but we talked about the things they didn't do well against the Chicago Blackhawks. They didn't take his eyes away. He saw a lot of the shots. So even though they got a lot of shots on him, he made the saves because he saw them. He didn't take away his eyes. He didn't make it hard for him. Well, you can't do that tomorrow. And so there's no excuse. You had an opportunity to step on your opponent's throat. That was a weaker opponent than you. You didn't. And as a result, you lost in regulation. Now, can any team beat any team in the NHL on a given night? Sure. That's obviously possible. We know that. But at the same time, you're not in a position to win tonight, lose tomorrow. I don't care that it's back-to-back. It doesn't. If you're worried about not having jump, as some of the comments in the chat have suggested, throw a player in. You've got Svechnikov. He's ready to go. Throw Vesalainen in there. If you're worried about, you know, needing your fourth line to get going, I'm just saying, throw Ville Heinola in. He was playing well. I'm just saying in terms of if you want to get some fresh legs tomorrow. But
So hey, Dave Lowry did not have an update on Andrew Kopp, which is no surprise. He didn't really expect that he would come out and say anything in the postgame tonight. But if Kopp doesn't go tomorrow, you know, you've seen that Lowry doesn't seem to have much faith in Svechnikov or Vesalainen. Do you maybe see a guy like Gustafsson come in to replace a guy like Andrew Kopp for tomorrow's contest? Like, which of the forwards do you would you expect to come into the lineup if Andrew Kopp can't go tomorrow?
The only issue is they're going to have to put someone, they'd have to do make a move because I think they're at a full 23-man roster as of right now. Now, so if they took Gustafsson off of LTIR.
Is he off of IR?
He's not. He's not. Okay. He's still on LTIR. So I'm saying if you wanted to, I'm fairly certain the Jets are at the 23-man roster. I mean, look, they could reassign Christian Vesalainen and it wouldn't impact them in terms of, he's waiver exempt. So that's not really an issue, but you just would have to make a corresponding move. If you weren't going to do something with Kopp in, you know, whether you would put him on IR or LTIR, whatever, something like that. So you'd have to make a move. But, I mean, to your point, you know, would you go with a David Gustafsson? I mean, I think it's a lot to ask of him. He hasn't played since January 3rd, and it's February 16th. So that's February 17th tomorrow. That's a lot to ask. I think
it's going to be a lot to ask whenever he gets back into the lineup.
Well, I actually don't think I agree because I think, you know, we haven't talked about the Moose yet today, but the Moose have eight games coming up at home starting on Sunday. And my feeling is you throw David Gustafsson down in the Moose and you let him play big minutes down with the Moose. And then you let him get his feet wet there and get his confidence back because he's played two periods since December 17th. So in 2 months, he'll have played two periods of hockey, one period against the Washington Capitals on the 17th and one period against the Vegas Golden Knights on January 3rd. My dates might be slightly off, but the point is he has two periods and again, not even full of games. you need him to get some, you need him to get some minutes under his belt and let him get that confidence back with the Manitoba Moose. They'll play Milwaukee on Sunday. So I don't think you throw him in, but throw Evgeny Svechnikov. Maybe if it's not caught, maybe you want to give Vesalainen a chance to, you know, unleash a shot, show you what he can do, especially against a weaker opponent. Maybe get him going, maybe get him some confidence, because I just don't think he's suitable for a fourth line checking role or a third line checking role. Christian Reichel is way more suitable for that role, or even David Gustafsson, but not Christian Vesalainen.
I was speaking Gustafsson because of the role that Kopp has been playing, you know, playing with Lowry and Reichel.
Right.
But your point about, you know, straight not having had really any game action at all is a valid one, certainly.
If we see a move, a player being reassigned to the Moose, that's probably a good sign, right? That obviously, if it's not David Gustafsson being reassigned, that, Gustafsson's going to go in the lineup. And I wanted to throw in one other thing to look out for tomorrow on the Kraken side is who they start in goal. Chris Driedger, obviously, is from Winnipeg. Played the last game. The Leafs pumped the Kraken. It was 6-2. Driedger's hasn't had the best year, but we talked about the Kraken are kind of a bit of a mess. Like they really haven't, just overall, they've been pretty bad all year long. So it'll be interesting to see if they go back to Chris Driedger and give him a start in his home city, or if they go to obviously Philip Grubauer, who's their number one goalie.
And both goalies have been lousy for Seattle this year. So it's not like there's one that's been heads and shoulders above the other. But that being said, you know, the Jets and wounded animals, and the Kraken would certainly constitute a wounded animal. They've had their struggles. So it'll be, the Jets are still probably rueing the fact that they couldn't beat the Blackhawks. But imagine how significant their laments will be if they can't beat the Blackhawks and the Kraken in the same week where they were able to beat the Predators and the Wild.
Remember what happened, you know, at Climate Pledge Arena, right? Like, you remember that game? What was it, 3-1? It was a pretty low-scoring game.
3-0. Hellebuck got the shutout.
Yeah, so, I mean, the template for that game, I mean, you obviously, you know, puck possession is huge in any game, but a team like the Kraken, I mean, they don't have a lot of sustained offense, and especially if you don't give them, you know, any opportunities on the power play. Like, they're a team in which, you know, if you put a couple of goals by the goalie, whether it's Driedger or Grubauer, I mean, you should easily beat this team. They just don't have a lot of guys that scare you, like we talked about, you know, Jared McCann's having a nice year, you know, Eberle, they really miss Jaden Schwartz, in my opinion. He was having a good year. There's a big drop off after that. Yanni Gord, another guy, but you're a third liner on Tampa Bay, and then, you know, you're on the top line of Seattle, right? It's just not a very deep team. So, I mean, the Jets, you know, you'll know how the game's going. You know, if they score a couple goals in the first period, most likely, you know, it'll be lights out.
It certainly is important for the Jets to jump on the Kraken early. Jets PR saying it's an optional morning skate tomorrow, which is sort of odd because, they don't even usually skate at all on a back-to-back. But I guess with the lack of any travel, anybody who wants to skate, there's an optional morning skate tomorrow. So maybe we'll find out a little bit more about the Jets lineup a little bit earlier in the day than we typically would on the second half of a back-to-back. And, of course, the place to gather all that information. Dave M., what's that place?
Little site called illegalcurve.com, folks.
There you go. You're a
15-year anniversary this year.
Yes.
That's true. I think I, in fact, have a copy of the initial post if you guys want to see it one day. It was about, what's his name? Mark Bell? Was that his name?
Wow.
Probably. Who knows?
Former Ottawa senator.
And didn't he play with the Leafs?
Yes.
I think he's from
Ottawa, Drew?
I don't remember. I can pull it up, or maybe I'll save it for a different post game show. Where
I just mentioned that because a lot of the Ginsbergs are from Ottawa. That's where my grandfather's roots are. My late grandfather. Sure. A lot of Ginsbergs in Ottawa.
And they, I'm sure, have as big of an impact in Ottawa as they have in Winnipeg, which is significant. Want to say a big thank you to all of our sponsors: Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, Linden Market Dental Center, Zappia Group Realty, Bernstein's Deli, Tough Duck, Boston Pizza, Seagram's, Rolly's Transfer, and Grid Park. Support these fine businesses because of their continued support of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, the Illegal Curve Post Game Show, and of course our website, illegalcurve.com.
Just checked Hockey DB, Drew. He's from St. Paul's, Ontario.
Ah, okay.
I don't know where that is.
I don't know where that is either. You can look up the geography.
Good for the Ottawa 67s, though.
There you go.
Schmitty Face just put that in the chat.
Yeah, Schmidt Face is doing the research for us, saying Mark Bell, Ottawa 67s, and the Maple Leafs. Thank you, Schmidt Face. Always good to see you on this Wednesday evening.
Now, more importantly, all I do before you say goodbye to everyone, I just want to let everyone know, with everything happening, and we will start to roll out some Moose tickets. Now, there's no Nuke Moose Minute, although I may do a slight one right now just to say that Jeff Mellott, who was supposed to be back in the lineup, he is back. He's practicing.
Play the intro, Drew.
He looked rather fresh. So, I mean,
give it to me.
That's a good sign for the Moose because they need him. They may be getting David Gustafson back, which obviously is another necessity. And, oh, we got a porn bot in the chat. That's
again? They've been there all night. A good thing.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to try and block her.
I got it.
All right, I did it. So, anyway, so we've got we do have some great, great Moose tickets to give away coming up. In tomorrow's show, either tomorrow or Saturday. They're for the game on Monday, I think. And so, but we've got pretty much for every series coming up now for the remainder of the Moose schedule. We'll have tickets to give away. And there's going to be a ton of good games you'll want to come and see. So Moose have been almost unbeatable at home. And you're going to have a chance to see some good Jets prospects up close and personal because you are right behind the bench.
I'm planning on being there Sunday afternoon, so if you happen to be there as well, be sure to look out for me. I'm going to be the one wearing all the IC gear and chanting for the Manuk Moose Minute throughout the entirety of the 60-minute AHL contest. Until tomorrow night at 9:45 p.m. after the Jets and the Kraken game, we thank you so much for joining us. Smash the like button if you haven't already done so. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Subscribe to the podcast. Tell a friend, tell a family member the best place to be after Winnipeg Jets game is the Illegal Curve YouTube channel. And of course, Saturday mornings at 9 o'clock as well. For Dave Manuk, for Ezra Ginsberg, I'm your host, Drew Mandel. And till tomorrow night, we wish you good night and good luck. And thanks for watching the Illegal Curve postgame show.
Thanks for listening to this broadcast from Illegal Curve Hockey. For more great Illegal Curve content, subscribe to the Illegal Curve YouTube channel. Follow at Illegal Curve on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and visit your online home for hockey in Winnipeg, illegalcurve.com.